grounded. When you were a kid, that's what happened when you disobeyed your parents. As an adult, being grounded had a different meaning. It means that you really have a good understanding of something. Today, Pastor Jonathan talks to us about being grounded in the Word of God for every storm of life.
Today, we're in the Letters from My Father series, Paul to Timothy. The title of this message is Grounded. It was a word I didn't like to hear often because I was a rough and tumble kid and I didn't like being grounded from anything. But grounded gives you the sense of losing rights and privileges. It gives you the sense of being practical. My wife is an amazing grounding force in my life. When I'm wanting to run and shoot for the moon, she says, "But how are we going to get there?" Anybody got that person in your life? That's a good person to have. I say, "I don't know." She said, "That's not good enough. Pray harder." So that's important in our lives. Another definition of the word grounded is to have roots. And that's kind of what I want to focus with you on today, having roots. I don't know if you've ever seen hurricanes go through the coast, but everything can be devastated. But you still see these palm trees. Even if they're bent, they're not broken. There's a root system that enables them to withstand the storms of life and be productive in good and in bad seasons. I'm going to be honest with you, I think if you've lived some life, you know that some storms you don't predict, you can't see, you don't know are coming, and you don't even know if you've got enough in you to make it through. But I want to tell you today, if you have Christ in you and you have a good solid root system, then you can flourish and you can get through, you can make it in those seasons. Are you with me today, church? And so we're going to talk about having roots. There's a couple verses for you that will kick us off. Ephesians 3, 16, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded. Everybody say grounded. Grounded. Say you're grounded. Grounded. Grounded in love. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Another one, verse 23 in Colossians 1. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. I don't know about you, but there's a grounding that God wants to do in all of our lives. That's why we do connect groups. So I want to ask you this. When's the last time anybody asked a question on a Sunday morning? But questions are real. They're important and most people have them. And I just tell you that when you get into a small group, you invest in your spiritual future, you get into a connect group, you're able to ask questions and get real answers. And so this is not enough. Don't ever think that it is. Not just your own devotional life, not just a Sunday morning, but you need to get in something that will systematically put you through the Word of God and say, okay, line by line, precept upon precept, I'm starting to get how to apply godly wisdom to my finances. I'm starting to get how to love my partner, my spouse, have a healthy marriage. I'm starting to get how to forgive and be a blessing. And I'm starting to learn. Does that make sense to everybody here? Because those are the practicals, right? So sign up for small groups and get involved and get plugged in. Be grounded. Psalm 1 is kind of the thing that jumps out at my mind. It's one that I learned very early on when it comes to being grounded. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by rivers of living water, which bears forth fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Aren't you glad that whatever you do can prosper in the kingdom of God if you're planted and grounded? Yes? Okay, I got five of you on board with me. That's good. That's good. I know it's a Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend, so I don't know. It's not bad, but it could be better. You want to prosper in all season? It's better. It's a little better. The digression of sin is, you know, from children, you sit, you stand, and then you walk. And the digression of sin is you walk, you stand, and then you sit. So walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers of the scornful. There's a digression of sin, and it literally is a digression of your life. It saps your life. It saps the things that God has called you to. It takes away from. And so sin will take you a lot farther than you want to go and charge you a price that's much higher than you want to pay. And so when you think about this, there are things that take away from our lives. They take away from what God wants to do. And I found that what I delight in, the Bible says he meditates on that law day and night. I find that what I delight in, I focus on. I find that what I delight in, I think about. I find that whatever I love to think about. That whatever gets my attention is the object of my affection. Okay? And so when you think about it, our delight is what dominates our thoughts and emotional energy. The Bible says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So literally, what I think I become, and the reality is that if I am delighting in and thinking on the Word of God, then it's much easier for me to become who it says that I am. Right? And so I think a lot of us, we tap into our YouVersion app, we tap into our Bible, depending on which way you go. And we can read a lot of God's Word, but I wonder, when was the last time you and I actually just took a verse and said, you know what, I'm going to think about this and I'm going to ask God all the ways that I can apply it in my life. So for instance, let's just take one, because it's one that I hate. I have a hard time with it, but I know God's working on me in it. It says Proverbs 15:1, right? Particularly when you want to get in a verbal fight. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, I know. It's just me. It's just me. It's cool. I'm just doing this for my benefit. But the reality is, if you just think about that for a minute and say, okay, God, how do you want to use that in my life? How do you want to apply that in my world? How do you want me to respond to people that I just want to off with their heads? You know, seriously, how do you want, and you begin to dwell on that, I guarantee you God will begin to reveal some things to you, maybe some situations, some people, some instances where you go, man, I was just kind and it diffused that thing. I was just gracious and God did something through it and in it. Wow, it works. And all of a sudden, see, I think that we've got to look at what God wants to do in those situations. So I meditate on the Word day and night. I don't get stupid in my success. And even in the difficult seasons of life, the night seasons, the seasons where you and I cannot see what God is doing or if he's doing anything. And I'd say this before, I'll say it again. God is up to something even when he's up to nothing. He's doing something even when he's doing nothing. And so even when we don't understand or don't see exactly what's going on, don't know how to interpret that season, then we can still hear him. I want you to know, oftentimes we're praying for a voice and we should be looking for a verse. Right? So say this with me. Say, his voice is in his verse. And so I can find the will, I can find the heart of God when I crack open his word, when I go to sound doctrine, when I look into his word and say, hey, I'm going to apply this principle, I'm going to let it ground me in him. I'm not just going to theoretically have an understanding of it, a mental construct of what God is saying that I should do, but I'm actually living it, I'm learning it in Hebrew. You didn't know till you applied. So I know how to apply that word, and it brings power in my life. And so when you look at this, it's interesting because it's a scientific fact that when you lose your eyesight, your hearing goes up. Your body knows how to compensate for what was lost. And so when I can't see what God is doing, I should certainly be here listening all the more closely to what he's saying to me through his word. I've read plenty of scriptures. I know you probably have too. If you've walked with Jesus for any amount of time, you read it and you go, man, I never saw that before. I've read it 100 times, but I'm seeing it now. Because the Holy Spirit just reveals that to you. God didn't change. He's unchanging. So the circumstance of your life puts you in a position to see a facet of that word in a different light. His Spirit illuminated it to you. All of a sudden, there's an application that comes out of it that's different. And there's a power that's released. And it's just remarkable. So what does God want to do? The problem is we got to discern the right voice. And that's where I go to His Word and having good, godly people in your life and in the house and in the church that can say, hey, listen, let me help you through the seasons of your life. We're all dumb at a certain point. Don't be dumb. Let God use all the resources He's given you at your disposal to be able to make godly choices, live godly life. So if you think of a tree is always planted, right? And it starts with a seed. And I want to say this, what we don't realize about the seed is that it contains everything that we need if we just trust God with it. Now, I want to be honest with you. I think there are people here. I think there are people in the other campus. There are people in the first service. And I have even struggled with this at times where you go, man, you know, I know God's word's God's word, and it might say, and it might be anathema to say differently, but sometimes it just doesn't feel like it actually produces what it's supposed to. Like it just at times feels like it doesn't work. Now, I know it's His word, and I know it's embarrassing to say, and I know that at times I just go, but I don't know if you've ever had that thought. It's probably, again, just me, so I'll just stick with me for a minute. Just pray for me, church. But I think there are times where we look at that and we go, you know, I just don't see how that applies and how that works. And the reality is that a seed has a maturation time frame, which means that there's a time frame for that seed to produce something, and we don't get to determine that. God does. Number one. And if you're going to birth an elephant, you need 18 months. Just saying. Don't do that. There's also the soil, which is the nutrients of God's word and in the atmosphere of your life. And so the seed is at least in part dependent on the soil that it goes into. That's why when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, it's called the parable of the sower, but He talks about the soil the whole time. Hey, there was a sower that sowed seed into the field, and it fell on the path, it fell on rocky places, it fell on thorny soil, and then it fell on good soil. Well, the good soil, the conditions were right, the nutrients were there, and so it produced a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. God just wants you to multiply. It's what He told us to do at the beginning, right? Multiply in your life, be a blessing to those around you, and have a soil that says, yeah, this thing can work. So we do have some input into the soil of our life and in the atmosphere of our life and what God wants to do in it. I remember as a young person, my dad taking me to Kings Canyon and the Sequoia National Park. My mom did too. I don't want her to get upset because she was in there with us four screaming kids. She was in it to win it too. But we were there at Redwood National Park too, and there are these massive trees, and we actually drove through one. It's called General Sherman. It's one of the biggest trees. It's the largest living thing on earth, church. It's 2,500 years old. It weighs 1,385 tons, 275 feet tall. It's 103 feet at the base, the circumference. We had 12 people like arm to arm. We could barely get around the thing. And the seed looks to be less than an inch long. So that tree came from a seed that's less than an inch long. It's got a root system that takes up an entire acre of land. I want you to think about roots and what that root system can sustain if it's healthy. What roots do you have in the Word of God? What roots do you have in the house of God? And the soil is good. It enabled it to grow. And I love the fact that when the righteous person's there and he's meditating on God's Word, it says he produces fruit in season, which means you're not always going to be in a place where you're producing fruit. There's some seasons that are just tired. They're hard. You're like, thank God I just made it through. But your leaf doesn't wither, which means that you can still provide shade and you can still be attractive to others even in your most difficult times. That's good preaching, Pastor Jonathan. Thank you. I know. I appreciate your... I'm just playing. But seriously, think about the leaf. You might not always be having fruit and might not always be fun great, but God wants your leaf to always be fruitful. He always wants you to be able to bless others. He always wants you to be attractive. You know, I like sitting under healthy trees, not dead ones, because then limbs fall on you. And so if you've got the right system, God can do something good in that. And if you got leaves, then you're naturally going to attract people. And I want you to know this too, because when Paul's writing to Timothy, your form fits your function. You hear me? God made you a certain way for a certain purpose. And the reality is your design reveals your destiny. And so when you look at this, I want you to see this. I want you to know that your weird is cool to God. It's not to anybody else, but it is to God. And so you should take console in that hey, you know what? I'm weird for a reason. And God has made me that way. And even though nobody else gets it, God gets it. And there's going to be something good that happens through it. All the weird people say, yeah. Yeah. Proud of your weird. It's okay. God loves you. We don't get you, but He loves you. Don't even understand it. You awkward joke telling people. I love you people. You come up and hug me and it's so, some said, you know, you got the full huggers and then you got the other people that are like half hug. And then you got people like, don't touch me. Just don't touch me. And then you got the other people, and this is awkward people like, just put my money in the offering plate. Get me out of here. All kinds here. We embrace you all. We love you all. All of you are a part of the house. Isn't that good? That even though we're weird, God loves us. And there's a reason He made you weird. And the other parts of you that He didn't make weird, get that right. There's a form that fits your function. And Paul says to Timothy, he says some interesting things. I want you to know, number one, that God's word and His gospel is power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I want you to know right now that Paul didn't go to them with wise and persuasive words, as it says in Corinthians, but he went with a demonstration of the power of God. And so I want to be very clear about this, that you are never meant to walk without a power of God. Power of God comes from the word of God. It comes from what you apply from His word in your life, being grounded. It also comes from His spirit, which is living inside of you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in us. And so here's what I want to tell you about this. It's important that you know it. There were many people that didn't have any power in the church at that time. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The reality is that we all like people that like to tell us what we like to hear. It makes us feel good. But we all need people that tell us what we need to hear, because what might be soothing to our soul is not life to our spirit. And so there's some people that we need in our lives, that we need to surround us with, that need to tell us exactly what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. It gives life to our spirit and it kills our daggone flesh. And the reality is, these people didn't want to do that, so they just put themselves around people that propelled them into their sin, into their dysfunction, and into their problems, and it robbed God's word of the power of His word in their life. And so when you look at this, he says, but mark this, they will have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Deny means in that fashion to literally not acknowledge, to not recognize or accept. And so when you look at this analogy, church, I think there's a lot of us, and by the way, that stuff can wick out, which is why the Bible says be continually filled with the Spirit. The reality is, if your life is a water bottle, now I don't go as much as I should. You've heard me confess. I'm confessing again. It's good for the soul. I don't go as much as I should. But when I go to the gym, I always carry a water bottle with me. Amy doesn't like it. She thinks it gets dirty, but I like it. It's my dirty. I don't mind it. It's mine. I like to take it with me. I like to set it down where I go. Never once have I gone to my gym and seen someone take one of these completely empty, sweating profusely, looking like they're going to die, like they've just raced a marathon through the Sahara, tip it up with nothing coming out, wipe their mouth and go, ah, that was good. Because I'm leaving that gym. That person is crazy. I've never seen that. I have seen people drink water from a bottle. I enjoy that. I enjoy it myself. There's a refreshing aspect to it. But what Paul was saying to Timothy is there's going to be people that have this water bottle, they have this form, but there's absolutely nothing in it. There's no power in it. There's no refreshment in it. There's nothing that they could take from it. They've got a religion, but they have no relationship. They've got a belief system, but they don't have any battering ram power to knock down whatever strongholds in the way. And so what I want to tell you today is God never intended for you to be an empty water bottle. He intended you. Now, I didn't know that this analogy was prepared long ago. It just happens to go with Pastor Mike's Hope 21 ministry. But the reality is God always intended for you to have great water. That's sound doctrine. You know what gets messy? If you contort the word of God, fit it to how you want in your life, then that actually is disease water. That'll kill you too. But living water... Hello? Jesus said he's living water. Living water always brings life. When you pour it out, it refreshes people. When you pour it out, it brings life to them. When you pour it out, it brings the power of God, church. We cannot be a people that fake the funk. There is too much at stake. There's too much going on in our world. There's too much that your family, your neighbors, your friends, your family need to hear and need to experience. There's a reason that Jesus said, come and taste that the Lord is good. He didn't say believe that the Lord is good. He said, come and taste, experience the goodness of God. Experience the power of God. Don't just believe in it. I don't know about you. I think too many people look like this, but empty. And so the world goes, when you pray for me, nothing happens. When you lay hands on the sick, they don't recover. When you preach the word of life, nothing changes. You haven't been transformed by it. Why do you think it's going to do anything for me? God wants you full of his power. Come on, say power with me. He wants you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants to dump his spirit into your life so that out of it, even in difficult seasons where you're going, God, I have no idea what you're doing or where you're at. Even in those seasons, you can go, ah, but my leaf hasn't withered. There's still life in me. There's still life in my journey. And people can come to me and they will be refreshed. They will have shade. I am still attractive in the world because I've got the living God on the inside of me. Do you have power or do you just have an empty bottle? Do you have something? You know what I love about God? He says, those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So I know that as I dump the power of God out of my life, that he is dumping himself back into me. Paul said, I'm even being poured out like a drink offering, Timothy. So follow me as I follow Christ. Examine my way of life. Why? You know it because he shared it with you. I love the fact that he was transparent, open, and honest with Timothy. Continue in what you have learned. See, I want to ask you this. It's not just about what you know, it's about who taught you, who molded the word, modeled the word of God for you. Were their lives transformed? Did they just know the word, or did they allow the word to know them? Sharper than any two-edged sword, separating bone from marrow. Did they let the word of God know them? Change them, transform them, seep into the areas of their life that were hidden and dark and hard. Today, I want to encourage you. It's a great opportunity in a few things. One, get into a life-giving group. Learn, grow. Don't be arrogant. Don't think you know it all. We don't. I don't. Number two, if you need the power of God applied to your life, well then, there's always an opportunity. I would like our prayer team to come right now, and I would like for you to stand, and I'd like for you to close your eyes, and I would like for you to not think about lunch for two more minutes. Bow your heads with me. You have a situation in which you cannot see the hand of God and you don't know what he's up to. It's a night season. But you know that he has power. You know that that power is in you, and you need that power applied to your life and to your situation. Right now, all I want you to do is raise your hand and say, that's me. I got a situation. It could be a sickness. It could be a health struggle. It could be a family member that's off. It could be a financial situation or a job situation. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a marriage. Whatever it might be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep them up. Keep them high. Keep them way up. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and allow someone to pray through this with you. Do not be the kind of people that just raise their hand. And I mean, come on. This ain't a calisthenics contest. This is you saying, I know that I need God to act on my behalf. I need the power of God in my life. You allow somebody to pray with you and to lay their hands on you and to say, hey, we believe that God is going to do something through that. If that's you and you have your hand raised, in one moment I'm going to ask you to come down. The Bible says that Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. It's the power of God. If you know in your life that you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have never connected with your Creator, if you do not know His plan and His purpose, or you have said a prayer and never really lived it, I want to give you the opportunity right now with the entire church to meet Jesus and to have a relationship with Him. Not just believe, but have a relationship with your Lord and Savior today. And so what I would like for you to do is I would like to say this prayer with you, because the Bible says that we come into a relationship with God by saying this prayer, by talking to God. And I would like for you to repeat after me, because there's some words that you need to tell Him. And so right now, church, let's help somebody maybe meet Jesus for the first time. Say, dear God, I thank you for your grace. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn. I turn to you. I ask you to come into my life, Jesus. Be my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again. thank you for saving me. I start a relationship with you right now. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer in your heart and you meant it, we have a Bible for you and a gift for you. I'd just like for you to do nothing but raise your hand. And starting point is room 13. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Starting point is back here. It's a room in the very back, your left. I want you to go there before you leave today. Is there anybody else? Just hands raised. There's no time like the present. If you acknowledge God before men, He'll acknowledge you before His Heavenly Father. That's what the Bible says. Is there anybody else that says, I need Jesus and I need all of Him, and I said that prayer and I meant it in my heart for the first time, or I'm returning to God? Anybody else? Come on. Let's wait. Don't hesitate. This is the best decision. The Bible says all heaven rejoices when one comes. More than one have come. Let's give God a hand in this moment right now. Here's what I want you to do. Back to the reality. Marriage, family, job, sickness. We serve a healing God. Everybody that raised their hand before, raise it again real high. Come on. Come on, nice and high. I don't take that long, but I'm taking long today. You need the power of God applied to your life. As we close today, I want you to come up, take the bold step, come on out of your seat. Tell you what, I'll do you one better. I'll come down, meet you. How about that? How does that do? Come on. I just want you to come down. I want you to get prayer. I want you to meet a living God. Come on, is that you? Just come on down. No harm in that. Meet somebody over here. Go to one of these guys right here, one of these ladies right here. Come on. Anybody else? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't have to just believe. You don't have to just know. You can taste right now. Anybody that needs prayer, we're going to be here to pray with you. If you don't need prayer, then I know that you know somebody that does need prayer. And you need to be life to them. You need to be living water to them. You need to deposit something in them. So, church, be a full water bottle. Have the power of God, not just the form of God. Can somebody say amen?
Today's message was delivered from the pulpit of Hope Point Church, our central campus in Chesterfield County. Are you looking for a church home? We'd like to extend to you a cordial invitation to visit Hope Point Church soon. You'll find valuable information about the church and its ministries here on this website. Or you can call the church office at 796-2828. Thanks for listening today, and we hope to see you soon at Hope Point Church, where you find hope for your life. For you, he is too.